Today's How Did This Get Made is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create a professional website or online portfolio for a free trial and 10% off. You heard me, 10% off. Go to squarespace.com and use the offer code NUNDERCOVER. That's squarespace.com, offer code NUNDERCOVER. Do it! Squarespace, everything you need to create an exceptional website. Hey, everybody, before we start the show, we're doing a live episode of How Did This Get Made in Los Angeles on 314, again at Largo. 314 at Largo. Go to largola.com. And if the first one sells out, we'll add another one. It'll be a lot of fun. Come out and see us. Now, there's not much to say about this next movie, except for... we saw Mortal Kombat, so you know what that means.
Now it's time for... How did this get made? We're gonna have a good time, celebrate some failure, not just be a hater, 'cause you know you wonder. How did this get made? Let's wallow in the mediocrity of subpar art. Perhaps we'll find the answer to the question, how did this get made?
Hello, people of Earth, and welcome to How Did This Get Made? I am Paul Scheer, joined, as always, by Jason Mantzoukas. How are you, Jason?
Oh, boy, fine, I guess. Just watch this movie.
And June Diane Raphael, how are you, June?
I'm good. How are you, Paul?
Very good. We have a very special guest today. Please welcome Cameron Esposito. How are you, Cameron?
Oh, I'm feeling great. I mean, this movie's like in my wheelhouse, so I'm thanks very for choosing this one for me.
June, do you want to reveal to the audience what you just said as we were putting the mics on? And I said, I feel like, let's try and recreate it. I said,
well, maybe we could do this. We could actually just play, because we did roll it. Let's just roll what just happened.
Drop it in. I didn't play this game.
I never played it either. Fuck, we're all... But I did do the research to try
good,
to figure
you
out.
Know what?
To
well
just be
done.
Like, you know what? Is this a thing in the... You know, so it's pretty cross-referenced.
I didn't
for
know
me.
There was a game.
Okay, so there it was.
Okay, so there it was. And what we just realized is that June went through this whole movie not realizing it was based on a video game.
Well, to be fair, I did write down at one point, this sounds like a video game.
Sounds like
the noises, the sound.
Oh, some of it actually is. When Reptile comes in, that's actually from the game.
Okay, because so, it does sound like...
You nailed it.
It does sound like the score of a video game, like even what you just played.
No, but the thing is, that
song... It did
song,
sound familiar, Mortal Kombat, those words together
yeah,
sounded
yeah, they
familiar.
Sounded like something.
But you just remember them from fighting to the death, right?
No,
just
I don't
right
know
from my own personal
general
experience of fighting to the death.
I did know that's a familiar phrase or saying. I just didn't know.
I'm laughing because
I didn't know where it was from.
Wait, you didn't know? But in your mind, Mortal Kombat, you just thought, well, this is a very large cast of characters, and it seems to be nothing but mano a mano fight sequences.
I have a lot. I sat down and said, guys, I don't even know what to say about this movie.
You stormed out of our living room three times going, this movie irritates me. And you walked out.
I had a very bad reaction to it. I didn't know what it was.
Well,
what
we it get it. Be. You sure. guys have a living room.
Now, I will say, we wanted to, it's like, I know a lot of people out there will be upset. Like, oh, come on. Well, you don't know the game and the game. And I played this game. Not so much that I would know all these details, but enough that I understand it. But screw you guys who are going to be upset about this. It's a movie. We're judging
and
it from
here's
that.
And here's the thing. If you have particular fondness for this movie because it pushes a button of love for you if playing this game, I need you to understand that this movie is very bad. This yeah. movie is
and if
like
you love this game, you should actually kind of hate this movie because
yes.
see, now I never played this game either,
but
I
did know it was
a did
game.
Live in the world at okay. the time.
And that's fair. And that's fair.
I mean, this is at like every roller skating rink growing up.
I was say, yeah. like a big arcade
you,
game.
They were yeah. words yeah. that sounded familiar.
It was like Duck Hunt, and then like that Rampage game where you turn into a bigger ape. You know, if something
oh,
happens,
that was a good one.
That.
I like that.
But yeah. Tron.
This is, here's what yeah. I'm realizing.
I mean, to bring this back to June, one of her most famous quotes. You don't really even understand Street Fighter, and you didn't understand that was a game.
I didn't know that was a game. Now, my relationship to video games growing up
ooh,
was
what do you
this.
Know? What do you know about video yeah. games?
My next-door neighbor had Nintendo, and the games I played were the game where you had to cross the street in a little... The frog crossed the street.
Wait, Frogger? That's not a Nintendo game.
Why did you let her off the hook way too fast? That's the game. Was it an Atari?
It was an Atari. Right. It was not a Nintendo. Okay, so
I want to go back to what you described. A frog? It was in a cart?
Did you think when you were playing that the frog was also in a cart, just going perpendicular to traffic?
I knew there were frogs in carts. I couldn't remember exactly how they related.
So you played Frogger, and what was the other game?
That was one of the best games on Nintendo. Also, that Sonic the Hedgehog game was pretty good.
I've heard of Sonic the Hedgehog.
Oh, you have?
I played Frogger. I've played Oregon Trail. I've played,
that's not a Nintendo game.
Okay, no, that's on the computer.
I played Solitaire.
Those are the two games that I have played, and Mario Brothers. I have played those games. Okay. When I went to an arcade or, you know, some sort of event with roller skates, whatever, I would see the video games. I wouldn't even go near them.
Really?
Why?
I wasn't interested.
This is why you get so angry when you see like things like Call of Duty or Grand Theft Auto, because you've gone from Oregon Trail to Grand Theft Auto 5.
That's a part of life like I never had any interest
in. I spent days, weeks worth of my life, like getting quarters and playing video games in an arcade. When I grew up, you could go to Paladin, an arcade in my area, with your report card, and they would give you $1 worth of tokens for every A you got.
Oh,
wow. That's kind of great.
Yeah.
I played pinball machines.
Uh-huh. Wait, you want, like, what do you want? You want a cookie for that?
Just trying to think of other things that are
like when you're at the pizza place waiting.
Yeah. Yes, skee ball.
Okay, so you're into like old timey fare.
Yes,
like you played one of those video games where you put the coin in and you spin the dial and you see a moving picture. Like that's a video game that you like.
Or like you put a quarter in and just like a monkey dances. Yeah.
I'm 72 years old.
So, I don't get the with your newfangled games.
These words sounded familiar to me, Mortal Kombat, I didn't know where what the source material was.
The reason I said that about the video game fans being mad is because the whole thing with that game was that it was super violent. It was like the first mega violent game, and they had the spine rip. There's a spine rip move in there. And
yeah,
you could
rip out a head and the spine would be dangling.
I think actually that game is the reason that games have ratings.
I think you are right. And this movie was originally to be an R-rated movie, so they could embrace the one thing that is defining about it, which is the supreme violence of the game.
So the basic premise of the movie, where mortals are fighting creatures who have magical powers.
I would say that this is
the
part
basic
of,
premise of the
I
game
would say
too.
That this is part of the movie that I'm a little bit unsure of. As a game player, I felt like there was a tournament, but it seemed like there were certain people who were not. The tournament didn't seem like the rankings. I couldn't follow a ranking system. I was like, oh, now they're out, but
it
did they win?
Like good
did they
guys
move
versus
on?
Bad guys?
But yet they were all there.
Couldn't tell who. Like, why were the people who were brought arbitrarily good guys or bad guys?
Right.
And I'm assuming then that some of the good guys killed other good guys, I think, in the beginning rounds.
Well, like to me, it's like I feel like this movie was missing that chart that they had in The Karate Kid, where they kind of just moved up the name LaRusso, so you got to see what was happening. Here, there was no ranking
system. Like a round robin, or like a bracket, exactly. sort of a tournament thing.
At one point, the Sang Sum, the bad guy, he was like, well...
Oh, the guy from Iron Chef?
Yeah.
Did anybody else think that he was just like the host of Iron Chef? Like that guy, they both overact so much in the most hilarious way. Every time he would get up and make those big declarations is like at the beginning of Iron Chef where the guy tells everybody what the secret ingredient is. Not America.
Yeah.
Not America, because that's the guy's nephew. But the original Iron Chef where the guy was like, had such dramatic flair. This guy was that guy.
Hey, well, this guy was amazing because also when he said something in the movie, like he would do this, he'd be like, well, now if you win this match, I can either challenge you or I can challenge someone else. Like, well, that's not a good effective tournament. That doesn't mean anything.
Everybody just gets to make shit up.
I think the mortal part also really comes into play because there's a couple times when the person does not die and then the Sang Sung just comes in
and sucks their soul
out. And
is
like, well, I'll go ahead and clear this up.
Basically, like, he always is winning because Sang Sung is like, he basically is, if I'm mispronouncing it, I'm sorry, but like, he just So he gets all the souls regardless. No matter who wins in these fights,
he
also...
is he collecting
also...
souls? What I couldn't understand was he collecting souls in order that he... in order to make himself unbeatable so that if it got down to it and he needed to fight to win the 10th victory...
clearly happened.
He has at his disposal all of this sorcery. He can recall the souls that he's stolen to fight on his behalf.
I want to talk... this stuff. No, I know we don't normally jump ahead, but at the end when he does have to call up all the souls. I do love that they all kind of pop out of the ground like through little circles, like a Britney Spears concert. Yeah. Or something. They all are shooting up from beneath the stage. And I was like, I wish I was on set for that day when these big muscle bound men were forced to be shot through holes. Like it did not go
well. That was the best part of last year's Super Bowl is when Beyonce was joined, and it was exactly like that moment for me. We're like, I can't believe Destiny's Child is here, back from the dead.
And there's a little bit of a stutter step because you're being rocketed into the air. And worse, they are being shot through like fake brick.
Yes.
But here's what I don't understand. So when he would take, I don't know any of these characters' names. Okay, I couldn't understand.
It was harder too because they didn't say them ever. Just kidding. Everybody called everybody by their first and last name in every occurrence.
When Lord Raiden came on, they said Lord Raiden about a million. If you did a drinking game every time they said the name Raiden.
Any of them to memory. But so when that guy was stealing, was taking souls.
Yes.
Were those people then dead to never be heard from again?
Yes.
Or did they then become his? Because what I thought was happening, I'm sure this is all in the video game again.
Well,
but
no, we got to treat this like a movie. We're treating it like a movie.
Was that those people were becoming his, like, sort of slave army that was there?
But that was unclear, too.
I don't think so.
It's pretty confusing.
Because Sub-Zero and Scorpion were under his spell.
Yeah.
You mean the guys that ripped their faces off to reveal skeleton heads full of bugs and worms?
Yes.
Those guys.
Yeah, they also...
Oh, cool. Got it.
Yeah, those guys who were from Halloween 3 who also had faces of bugs and worms.
That's a real potent image, I guess, is like a head that opens and erupts into bugs and worms.
I always think about like who is the bug handler that's like get on set at 5 o'clock that morning and just like be like, hey, the roach is on top of the worm, but for continuity, we need worm on roach. But so if you could just get in here.
And then you need somebody in the skull, though, going like, they need some sort
push more through.
We gotta get him out. We gotta move. He's like just shoving.
Like it's like that Play-Doh spaghetti thing, you know, where you like shoot the Play-Doh out.
I do think, and I'm willing to say this now, that we should have an episode where we interview a Hollywood bug man.
If you are a Hollywood bug man,
I've met a few animal wranglers. I can't believe I'm going to go on record and say this, but they're strange.
Well,
I'm sorry. Can't believe you're going to go on record as saying Hollywood animal wranglers are strange people.
They are. It's a certain personality.
I'm going to say 90% of the time, they are not animal trainers. They are animal owners that just happen to like want them. We had a snake trainer in the league, and they're like, you can't train a snake. No. They're training
just
a snake was
one.
Hitting it with a stick, and the snake was like vomiting and shitting all over the floor.
Yes.
Like it was.
I was on a Marin episode where they had a cat wrangler, and allow me to throw something out there. She had a belt on, and on part of the utility belt was just a little like a tiny Pringles can sort of a thing, and it was rewrapped in brown paper, and it said on it like liver snaps. And so she not only put it onto a belt, but she also labeled it.
Oh, she's like a Batman. She's a Batman ring.
She's a cat man.
Cat woman. The liver snap area that was labeled. That's how I knew it was.
Well, she didn't want to be reaching for liver snaps when she was reaching for something else.
Oh,
she's got to get in the...
confusing.
Yeah. But to be fair, if you handle bugs for a living and you're a fan of the show and want to come on and tell us what's up with that, please,
come on.
Please.
We will talk to you.
We want to know.
I will also talk about this movie came out in 1995, and it was at the beginning of CGI, which is amazing because it's before people have like learned how to react to it appropriately, because CGI in this movie, like, the way they're reacting is not mimicking what is actually happening. It's sort of like, if something is like flying by their face, like, whoa, oh, like their reactions are so big.
Yes. And it's so cool to see. Well, I love like effects stuff.
Sure.
And what I love about this is, Goro's character.
Oh, yeah.
Clearly,
who's Goro?
He's the guy who has many forearms.
That's what I call him in my notes.
I call him old forearms. And they clearly use, like, because it's just the beginning of CGI, they clearly use a bunch of different methods to make him. Like, there's some shots shots where it's just like an arm in front of the camera being like, hey, can you just get that arm over here? And then like there's other shots where it's clearly a guy standing on like another guy's shoulders. And there's just so many composite. There's like, I think there's maybe even claymation in
there's
this.
There's definitely, yeah, Ray Harryhausen was definitely puppets. Involved.
Oh, so the miniatures in this are amazing.
There's a ton of different, and I love that from this time period. It's like very, it's Terminator 2 did it the best, but this is like
it feels
this
more
time period where they're trying to smash a couple things together.
It's like right where Clash of the Titans meets Terminator 2. It's sort of like they just don't know which side to go on. But I want to talk about Goro, the forearm guy. You're led to believe that this is a character. I know we're going out of order,
is there an order?
Is there an order?
It's a series of fights. Yeah. If I hear that
There's
song
no narrative,
one more time, I will put a bullet in my head. That was this
the best song of all time.
80% of the movie.
I wanted
is
it to
just
play
this.
For 90%.
This and like psh 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 ah psh 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 ah oh psh ooh ooh ah psh.
Get over here.
Fatality.
It was insanity. At a certain point, I was like, you can't just play this song and have fights and call it a movie.
I want more. I got excited in my house because because at least gave me some energy.
Can't believe I don't listen to that song when I'm at the gym.
I want every
moment.
Oh, I want it all the time. It's the best song of all time.
You are wrong. You guys are very, very wrong.
I think that they wrote that song ahead of time. Whoever put that, it's like somebody actually cool.
Yeah, that's
Lords of Acid or something.
Yeah, it is.
That song is not in the video game.
That is like their song, and then they put in the Mortal Kombat scream, like how when Bruce Springsteen
Mortal
did that
Kombat.
That song that's in whatever the fuck that movie is with what the fuck is that movie where Tom Cruise leaves the. And then Renee
Castaway.
Zellweger goes with... It doesn't matter. But they put the sound effect
in. Jumpers the Volcano.
And like ruined... That's their
bosom
song.
Buddies.
And now forever for the rest of their lives. I couldn't stop thinking about like if you made that song and then now the only thing people remember is like they're going to scream that in your fucking face for the rest of your life.
Well, here's one thing I will tell you. That album went platinum. The Mortal Kombat soundtrack went platinum in less than 2 weeks.
For sure it did.
Why?
Sure.
Because everyone loves it.
I'm buying it now.
I'm willing to say that song was terrible.
No, it was great.
It was exhausting is what it was.
All right, I want to talk... Oh, go ahead.
I was going to ask, as a fan of the video games, did you guys like the video game?
I love the video game.
I didn't play
it. You never played it?
I love the video game because it was...
Was it satisfying to...
No, okay. Not at all. No,
it was
not satisfying as a narrative.
It was one of those games where like two people squared off. It's like a button smasher.
Yeah.
And you just do different combinations and it's like... Psh, psh, psh,
and with
ooh,
characters
I'm jumping,
like
pow,
the
pow,
actor...
Pow,
well,
and
the cool thing about the video game, from my memory of it, was it was like... It was video. So like the characters were not like... Animated, they were like they brought in like actors, and so they were real people, and that was like a cool thing. So the world looked very much like a video game, but the characters looked like real people.
What's the difference between this and Final Fantasy? Wasn't that the
Final Fantasy is a whole different thing? Like Tekken.
What was
more
the other two person
Street Fighter?
Oh, Street Fighter.
So
yeah,
Street Fighter,
so
Mortal Kombat were like
so
this,
these
Street
were
Fighter
the competing enemy games. Okay, got it.
Now,
everybody is flipping out right now.
Oh, they're
everybody's
mad.
Like, how the fuck do you not know what this
do
is?
Do some fucking research.
Okay.
Do some research.
Well, guys, talk to me when they make a game out of Pitfall. A movie.
Or
rather.
A movie about a frog in a car.
Oh,
for I would
June.
Watch that.
Or a Q-Bert movie.
But I will say this. So Goro is built as this four-armed monster. He's kind of human. I don't know what his whole deal is. He seems to be like a bad guy who I have a
sorry, he's not in the video game. Not that this
he is.
Is the
he is.
He is. Okay, all right.
But
I think everybody might be in the video
everyone
game.
Everyone is. Yes.
Oh, okay. All right.
Well, the black guy is not.
Jax.
Because there's like a different the black guy that's in this movie is like a composite black guy where they were like, "We are black guy," and then they just made him killed off.
Really?
Right away.
Yeah. The first one to die.
The black guy with the braids or the black
no,
guy?
No,
the guy who got
the
killed.
Who's
so
Sonya's
like
okay.
Sad, relatable black guy?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Like, oh, well, get over here, buddy. And then that guy goes right out the window.
Well, yeah, that guy was. Yeah, I think maybe Jax was because now I'm looking right here. He is a character. His name is Jax Briggs. And he may have been more. The Jax Briggs is not the black guy. He's the guy with the half metal face.
Oh,
yes,
the
you're
cyborg
right.
Guy?
Yes, the
can
cyborg
I ask
guy.
A quick question?
Oh yeah.
What was Sonya and the black guys? Was her name Sonya or Sasha?
Sonya.
What was their occupation in the real world?
Oh, they were like police officers?
Special forces.
Sonia is like a policeman. She's got the shotgun in the beginning, right?
It is confusing why their job description involves, because it feels like maybe they work for the government, but like,
wait,
but like deep ops where you just run into space where you're just like, my job is to run at this ship.
I have the thing.
I don't have any connection to anybody else.
Wait, like, she never radios
anybody.
I have a real question.
Who is her boss?
But her boss, the guy that she's with, who doesn't get on the boat, when she runs towards the boat, he goes, he literally says it in this tone of voice, like, hey, Sonia, don't get on that boat. Like, it's like so
like, oh well, there she goes.
Maybe he's the guy that has to go back to their boss, just like, I don't know, she ran into some mist.
She got into a fog boat.
Did the other guy, sorry, don't know any of their names, why did the other guy want to fight her so badly?
Who, Metal Face?
Not Metal Face. Oh, I don't know.
By the way, this is from the Mortal Kombat wiki. Sonya Blade is a female soldier who's a member of the Earth Realm's Special Forces Unit known as the Outer World Investigation Agency, the OIA. And so she's sort of like she's like a DEA agent of the Outer World.
Like a Men in Black.
Yes.
Sort of a predictive of that.
Yes.
What?
Okay, that's really...
So, but when the other guy, the Asian guy, says, says...
The chosen one?
I don't know. Says, I don't want you to harm her, I just want you to humiliate her.
Oh, you mean...
What was that about?
The head bad guy, the bad guy.
The main bad guy.
There's
like some rape setup going on there.
Really disturbing.
Pretty over the top rape.
She's all tarted up at the end, so I thought
humiliation?
They took her out of her short shorts, which she was fighting in her short shorts, and then they kind of dressed her in like a princess outfit for no real apparent
reason. Couldn't
figure
that out. But I was like, was he like softening her up so he could like... blast her? Like, what's the deal?
Something was very wrong about that.
Well, and then the friends come and save her, and the guy who's been like flirting with her the whole time goes, nice chest. Nice chest?
No, he says nice dress.
Dress.
Oh, I thought he said nice chest.
Nice dress.
And I thought to myself, who on earth says chest? Who would be like, instead of saying like nice tits or whatever, who would be like, hey, nice chest?
I will say that this is my issue with that character. Everyone that was there was a fighter of some kind, right? And they were all really, but everyone was protecting her like, oh, let's not beat her up. The girl, let's not touch the girl. But she was a fucking very good fighter.
Well, they brought her there because she was a good fighter.
I was happy she at least really got upsetting. Some punches in the face. Like, that's nice to see when there's a chicken. I do think, though, like, Angelina Jolie variety of female
fighter. Yeah, but that's what
fighter.
I had a problem with because she was really, all of a sudden, she was like this woman in distress.
Whereas they all had to been run such after. A badass the whole time. I agree.
And she was screaming and flailing about. Yeah. Like, it was very strange.
And by the way, if you want to know who was up for this role originally, Sharon Stone.
Oh, and who was the woman that played it?
This is actually Pete Sampras' wife.
Oh,
her name is Bridget Wilson Sampras.
Yeah.
And Dina Meyer, also from Battlefield, was a Starship Troopers. Those are the two that turned it down.
Do you guys recognize her from Billy Madison?
Yes,
she's
that's
like
what I remember.
She's like a hot chicken Billy
her.
Madison.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was a formative person.
Oh, yeah,
100%. You know? Like the hot chicken. Veronica, come on.
Yeah, she was like, by the way, she seems so humorless to me as a character. Like at one point they make a joke like about, I wrote it down, like, she's always taking that Johnny Cage's jokes as being like,
serious.
Yeah,
she doesn't get humor.
Yeah, like,
apparently her partner was killed by Kano. Right?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Her partner's killed by Kano, and from that point forward, she only has like a bloodlust for revenge and cannot entertain jokes, cannot crack a smile. All she wants, she will shoot up a nightclub. She will do whatever it takes to kill Kano. And then she snaps his neck with her legs. And I was like, this is some cold ass shit right here.
I feel like it's maybe like an anti-feminist, like women that fight are not fun. Like they're not nice to you. They're not nice.
I agree.
And I felt like they shot that fight scene in, I mean, I did appreciate that she got punched in the face a few times.
Me
but
too.
Like,
thank God.
But what? They really did shoot it in like these weird close-ups that like you never really saw her.
No, no. And I slowed it down.
By the way,
because okay, I wanted Jason. To see him okay, connect.
She did all of her own fights, all of her own stunts.
And that showed though.
But how could you have slowed it down? Because the fight sequences in this film
were already so slow.
I disagree. Telegraphed punches.
That was so crazy to me because they would always slow it down. I was like, but you're not doing anything. Like when she flips over that guy, I was like, why are you slowing down this flip? It's not like she's moving so quickly.
Many people were able to duck. That was a big move get away from. Also,
and every punch is very easily blocked because it is set up and then very slowly executed.
Like the special kind of magical moves, they gave them like plenty of time set up. Where it's like, I'm calling to the gods, an ice thing is forming in my hands. Like, stay Let's over go. There and look at it with your eyes.
Can I ask this? Why weren't any of the mortals? Like, why wasn't Johnny Cage or Liu Kang or Sonya or any of these people surprised when there was a four-armed man, when
that
people could summon electricity?
I mean, as far as we know,
they didn't flinch at all.
As far as we know, this is not a world that they were accustomed to. Like, yes. Johnny Cage was not like, oh, I know that there's an other world. Nope. And by the way, it wasn't also made clear if the boat was in the air because there was so much fog or if they were on the water.
Do you know when he looks and the compass is going crazy or whatever? Do you think they were on the Lost Island?
I thought they were on the Lost Island. John Locke was one of the fighters.
How fucking awesome would it have been on Lost if they just walked by and like there was a Mortal Kombat happening in the background?
The others were just like all those other.
If like the Man in Black and Titus Welliver or Titus Welliver and the other guy there, when you flash back to them, they are just mortal combatants.
It was never a polar bear. It was Sub-Zero the entire time.
Yep. Well, it did seem like even if they didn't know this world existed, they were very used to the idea of like magic and.
Why?
That wasn't new information for anyone.
But I think it was new information.
I think it was supposed to be too. But it should have been.
They were so
such
jaded.
You could tell that they were surprised because of their sassy jokes. You know, like that. Whenever Johnny Cage was like, that's just how he interprets the world. He's just like, oh, this again? I got to carry my bags to other world.
Johnny Cage
his way of going through
the is world. My favorite character. And his love relationship with Sonya was not ever set up, right? I mean, like, they had like a couple.
I think what they wanted was that, like, Sam and Diane type of, you know.
But then all of a sudden he's like, I'll never let you get out of my sight. And I was like, wait, what just did we miss? Like a fight?
I want to talk about him.
You belong to me now,
him
woman.
Throwing his autographed picture at the end of that fight. Now he
how
had
about
those
wearing
on
the
him?
Sunglasses to the other fight.
Those are five.
How about see, this was during a time though, I feel like in like the early 90s there was this real sort of like a lot of actors in movies were portrayed as just the worst douchebags in the world. Like that was during that time where it was like if you were a movie star in a movie playing a movie star.
Yeah. You were
getting handled pretty.
A horrible person.
Yeah. We also need to go back to the fact that the whole reason he's there is because he like definitely reads tabloid articles about himself.
Even tabloid articles in like Chinese. Yeah.
Yes. The tabloid article, what he is, his character's arc is that the tabloids are saying that he is a fake karate fighter. Yeah. He's like, I can't stand it. I'm a good karate fighter.
And that's why he goes.
Can I actually play this clip from the movie when his master comes to tell him to fight in this tournament? You'll get a sense of the movie here. Let's take a listen.
I see the press is still giving you a hard time. Yeah, they think I'm a fake. Johnny, you're one of the best martial artists in the world, and I can help you prove it.
Prove it? How?
Tournament, the tournament, is held once a generation. The best fighters in the world are invited. You win the tournament, you win their respect. They'll tell the entire world that you're the real goods.
That is the premise. Like, that's pretty much.
I wish, though, at the end of the movie, we had seen, you know. Printing presses putting out some new articles.
And
it really didn't seem
nice.
Like the word was going to get out.
Maybe in the sequel. Maybe
well,
in the
because
sequel.
The sequel does pick up right after this movie. I want to just, before we get away from Johnny Cage, because there's something very important. Did you guys notice anything about that director that was directing the movie? Anything?
Oh, yes.
Who did it look like?
Oh, the director?
Yeah.
Steven Spielberg.
Right. Now, did you be very surprised to know that apparently Steven Spielberg is a big Mortal Kombat fan and was supposed to make an appearance as the director in the movie, but scheduling conflicts forced him to back out at the last minute.
Wow.
So he was lined up. Steven Spielberg could have been in this movie.
Unbelievable.
I wonder if he's bummed listening to this show right now. He listens, right?
Like, he listens all the time.
You know, I also think that somebody should tell Johnny Cage about PR. You know what I mean? Just like, let him clue him in. You know, like you can get people that, because he's kind of going for this like kind of word of mouth element.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
I feel like, you know,
it's like invite some reporters on set and just have them watch you actually do it because he is actually.
Yeah, there's nothing about like, it's very easy like to prove that you're not a fake.
Yeah, do an expo. Do like a martial arts expo. Yeah.
Right.
Anything.
Show people that really, it's not a stunt person.
Almost anything.
Yeah. That would be the only, that would be the easiest to find.
Or to be honest, enter a difficult to locate and or prove exists otherworld fighting competition that nobody is aware
of, with no specific name.
Right. Yep. In the hopes, the tournament. In the hopes that the people there will then spread the word.
Yeah, they're going to talk about it.
To be, but for all intents and purposes, that is impossible
because
as everyone will be dead. except for the one winner in theory.
Right, right, right.
To be fair to this film,
it's a long
lead. We will say that the guy was a face shifter.
Oh yeah,
yeah. It was actually Shang Tsung who came there and pretended to be his old man.
Yeah, he was tricking all of these people into coming to fight.
But still, the
by appealing
of why
to their
he
problems
went remains the same.
Well, look, if your sensei told you there is a thing, you might go. You may not ask him too many questions.
How come none of the guys from Cobra Kai were there?
They're not the best fighters.
Okay. Yeah, they're not.
You know, it's clear.
But again, does anyone? All right, so this is my question, and this may be infuriating people at home. Is there a reason I don't understand? Like you would, my idea would be that there'd be somebody from every realm, and then whoever won the tournament
would then be able
to take over all the realms.
You're now kind of describing the plot line of Ed Brubaker and Matt Fraction's Iron Fist series. Which is multiple realms each have a fighter, and all those fighters have to fight each other.
Okay.
And they all have special powers about which pertain to each of their places of origin.
Got it.
Which is a way better version of this. Yes, kind of like Last Airbender, which was, again, one of the worst movies we've ever seen in our entire lives.
I think we could even take this one step back, though. Just even the way that the people in this movie are delivering the word fighter makes that sound like it is a baby. Did anybody be like, he's a great fighter. In the movie, the fighter, that sounds like a tough thing to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
In this movie, it sounds like a vague...
description of nothing. Where are they fighting?
He's a fighter. He's going to fight.
And it's also such a weird assemblage of people, like an actor, I don't know what John,
special ops person.
Yeah, what a Liu Kang. I don't really understand what he does besides tucking shirts into jeans.
Oh my god! But we have yet to touch upon who I found to be the most bizarre person in this movie, which was Christopher Lambert.
Yes, 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 yes.
I mean, there's a fucking Highlander in this movie.
There's a Highlander.
And he, Lord Raiden. And he,
what's going on? Who is he?
Is he cross-eyed?
No.
It would be hard to know if he's cross-eyed because you can't stop thinking about his accent.
His accent.
I mean? So you can't focus on his face.
I can't tell if he has an accent
or where he's from.
Talking baby talk the whole time.
Well,
it was a fascinating performance, though. Like,
yes.
I will give him this. I really could not take my eyes off of it.
Tell me more.
Every time he was on screen, because I really did have trouble paying attention to this movie, and I am a little lost on a lot of this because it really just didn't hold my attention. But when he came on screen, I was...
Well, he's always popping up. He's always popping into everybody's conversations. And then he's presenting stuff, and he's like, you're finally learning. But he's never presenting any, like everyone, like, who is he setting
up? At a certain point, I was like, oh, he's going to train them. He doesn't train them. At a certain point, I was like, oh, he's going to be the Obi-Wan Kenobi. Like, he's going to have to fight the big bad guy.
Nope.
Like Vader and Obi-Wan's fight and sacrifice himself. Nope. He, like, disappears
Is he a character in the video game?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, I'm assuming everybody is.
Yeah. What does he do in the video game?
Shoots those lasers.
I think the lasers are his thing, or the lightning. Oh, so he does fight.
He has laser eyes.
Do you think any part of your fixation with him has to do with his unusual hairline?
It's very possible.
He has one of the more unusual hairlines in movie dumb. Like, it's kind
of a
Frankenstein.
That was a wig, though.
Yeah, but like any movie you've ever. No, that's his natural.
But that's somebody's job to make a wig look good. I mean, you can't just like chalk it up.
The look on June's face. For the line, that was a wig, though, was
come on,
priceless.
Carmen. That was a wig, though.
Sweetheart, that was a wig.
His, whatever's going on under the wig is being replicated by the
wig. I see what you're saying.
I agree.
I mean, I don't really know what's going on with his hair, but I will say, I have seen the Highlander series.
Yes.
It's as confusing.
I agree with this.
Oh, should we do Highlander on this show?
I think we should definitely do Highlander on this
show. Should we just do every Christopher Lambert movie?
That should be our live show.
Also
theme.
Married to Diane Lane for a very long time.
I love Diane Lane.
My issue about him, too, is that it clearly Raiden, or at least when I played the game, was an Asian man, hence the rice paddy hat.
Yeah.
And I feel like anyone else wearing a rice paddy hat is offensive. I do feel like, I don't
and
feel like.
Also, the wig was like, it, maybe this is going to be offensive, but it seemed like the.
I compared
sort of
one of the characters to the guy who ran Iron Chef, so I think we are
just, at this point, terrible people. Also, like that shock of white gray hair. Was like, you would imagine an elderly Asian man wearing a hat
like
would
the,
have that same look. It just seemed very, yeah.
It was, the movie was very confusing. I did not care for it, even remotely.
Hey, everybody, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but just time to pay the sponsors here. And also let you know that we have gifts in our store. You can get a How'd This Get Made pint glass. T-shirts are coming. But let's give thanks to our sponsors. You know it. You love it. It's Squarespace, the website building thing. That's a song that I just made up about Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website or online portfolio. And guess what? They're sponsoring today's show. No, I'm just not talking about this willy-nilly. I'm talking about it because these guys are behind the show. They keep the lights on. They help us out. And you know why? Because they know how to get shit done. So if you want a website, you're going to go to them. All right. They were founded in 2004. Guess you didn't know that, did you? They provide users with publishing, hosting, and e-commerce tools for a very small monthly fee. So whether you have a small business or a large one, you should be promoting it online, and Squarespace can help you. It's easy to use. Did I mention that? It has so many options for customization. Your dream website is just a few drag and clicks away. So start your free trial today. You don't even need a credit card to sign up. So maybe you are in the witness protection program and they haven't given you a credit card yet. You don't need it. You can start your own website. You can have all your mob stories up there on a blog for free. Try it out. And if you decide that you can't live without it, use the offer code NUNDERCOVER to get 10% off. Squarespace starts at $8 a month and includes a free domain name if you sign up for a year. And when you decide to sign up for Squarespace, make sure you use the offer code NUNDERCOVER to get 10% off. And by doing that, you are showing your support for How Did This Get Made. So thank you, Squarespace. We love you, Squarespace. Hey, we've got Warby Parker sponsoring today's episode of How Did This Get Made? What's Warby Parker, you might ask? Well, I'll tell you, Warby Parker was founded with a rebellious spirit and a lofty objective to create boutique quality, classically crafted eyewear at a revolutionary price point. Warby Parker is the new way to shop for eyewear. That's what I'm telling you, people. Finally, you can get your glasses your way. No more going to those stupid stores with those old guys putting glasses on your face, touching your nose with their dirty fingers. You get to look online. You get them to send them to your house. It's reasonable. It's humane. It's not barbaric like old school. What are we, Flintstones? No. Glasses should not cost as much as an iPhone, and Warby Parker is going to get you a cheap pair of glasses. Their home try-on program is the best. Order 5 pair of glasses. They're shipped directly to you. You can try them on in the comfort of your own house, get feedback from friends, family, colleagues, whoever you want, and then you keep the frames for 5 days, and then you send back the ones that you don't want in a prepaid return shipping label. There's no obligation to purchase, and it's so easy. So if you need glasses, you gotta try Warby Parker. Support this show by ordering your glasses online today at warbyparker.com. Use the coupon code HOW, that's H-O-W, to receive a free expedited 3-day air shipping. You gotta check it out. Even if you wanna see, what do I look like with glasses? Do I look smart? Will my friends respect me more? You can just do it for free and you're supporting the show, which helps everybody. So check it out. Go to warbyparker.com, promo code HOW, that's H-O-W. Okay, that's enough with the ads. Now back to the show. I'm going to show June some pictures of Christopher Lambert because I think that his hairline is, I don't think it may be a wig. I think it is kind of.
Guys, it's definitely a wig.
Listen, that could be a wig or not. I mean, but like.
You think you could grow that length?
Yeah,
and
I think you grew that
up. Hair?
Uh-huh. No, not in thickness.
Welcome back to Wig Talk with June Diane Raphael.
If you have done a wig for Christopher Lambert, we want to have you on the show.
You know what? If you're a working Hollywood wig artist and have worked with Nicolas Cage, Christopher Lambert,
or John Travolta,
please call us.
But I do see what you're saying, which is that the wig is following and mimicking a hairline that's already there.
But it's just pretty shocking.
Right.
It's pretty straight across in a way that hair, you know, doesn't ever grow.
There is something amazing. I wanna talk about, and this I think kind of sums up his character. So Raiden is this character who is, you know, the mentor, the Mr. Miyagi of this, who gives no information. Mr. Miyagi, you can at least look back and go, oh, well, the wax on, wax off taught him this. Everything that Christopher Lambert said doesn't make any sense. The best thing I think that sums up this whole character is at the very end of the movie, what he says to these characters that just had a battle to the death. Here, take a listen.
I've got to tell you something. You guys did great. What is it? The Emperor.
Pathetic fools, I come for your souls.
I don't think so.
That thing, I mean, that is the most crazy. Like, this is a big, violent action movie, and he just basically goes, you guys are so good. I'm so proud of you guys. Great job. Like, it's just like, it's such an unclimactic ending
it's
of
like
a movie.
It's like a ruffling of the hair, almost.
Yeah.
Like, hey, you buddies. And then gives him a little
did it.
He has the kind of opinion where he's kind of like, I always knew you could do it.
I don't want
But it's like, no, you've had nothing. He didn't really assemble these people. He has nothing to do with their success.
No.
He didn't train them. Nor did he impart anything of particular value to them.
Well, I thought he trained one of them. I thought he trained
Liu Kang.
Yeah, didn't he?
I couldn't really tell.
I mean, and by the way, that was how the movie was supposed to end, with him just going, I gotta tell you guys something. You did great. Credits. And then they added on a little bit more because I think it tested so poorly that they were like, whoa, you can't end.
Well, and all those children ran out.
Where were those children?
Where did those
kids
come from?
Was that a school let out on the same on this crazy mysterious island in Bizarro Land? Like, I'm not quite sure if this island existed on Earth.
Maybe those were the kids who were going to spread the word about the actors.
Well, he's got that army on the islands, and they've got to fuck something. So there must be concubines, and those girls get pregnant, and those kids no doubt become like the next wave of like the slave army. It's like the army that Khaleesi hires.
So that's the baby, the baby of the Khaleesi.
Yeah.
You could cut a nipple right
off. I did like Princess Kitana. Anyone?
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty confusing.
Yes.
Well, yeah.
That she fought, what's his name?
Liu Kang.
Little puff hair.
Yeah.
And then nothing happened. How was that not? They fought for a second, but it was not.
When she was telling him,
when
she was telling him, like, what to do.
Well, there's sometimes. What was going on there?
That's the other thing I have an issue with this movie. Sometimes they're tournament fights, and other times they're just fighting. And, like when that army attacks the three of them when they're kind of snooping around the mysterious mountain. Like, that's not a fight that's on record. That's sort of like an extracurricular fight.
And why do they keep on saying that it was going to be. There were going to be terrible consequences if she got together with what is
Didn't they also say she was 10,000 years old?
Yeah, she's 10,000 years
great.
Old.
She
What?
Oh, she was looking great.
Her wig was great. You know what I mean? Like,
she
was great wig work.
Was
it
no way that she is 10,000 years old?
You don't know how supernatural powers affect. It could be the opposite way, you know?
Maybe.
Like Mork and Mindy, Jonathan Winters was as a baby, but he was an old man.
Oh, that's interesting. R.I.P. Jonathan Winters.
R.I.P. Can we talk about the set design a little bit too? All the sets look like
How about the crazy stairs? How about the crazy stairs that Johnny, what's his name, fights yellow guy on? Guy in yellow suit.
I think this looks like a He-Man playset at your house that they were like, does anybody have anything they could bring in? Yeah. Our budget is low.
Well, it was like this is somebody who makes a home haunt. It looks pretty good. It's like, we'll put some purple light here. Yeah. You can't really tell a refrigerator.
Like, eyeballs.
Yeah. Stuff that looks like cobwebs and a couple of fake skeletons.
The most upsetting thing was when that guy was eating the chicken wing.
The cyborg guy?
Or the turkey leg, whatever the hell that was. It was disgusting.
I hate mic'd food.
I found that really sexy, actually. The amount of food on that table.
And why was he by himself and not at the banquet?
Well, because that was a scene where they needed to send up all the exposition of the entire movie.
Everything in that entire scene was crazy.
But also that banquet that he's having follows the banquet where they bring in a ton of food.
Yes.
Yeah. A ton of food.
Crabs.
Then they throw all the food on the ground. Yep. That's the beginning.
Why, that just seemed to be not right.
Well, that was like, they kind of like, welcome everybody. We're going to have this great tournament where we fight to the death. Yep. It wasn't the dessert. It was literally, they served it, flipped over every table, and then one fight happened where a guy just shot like an ice bolt at this guy, and that was it. And they're like, okay.
And now everybody go to bed.
Everybody go to bed.
It was like the worst first night at Hogwarts. You know, when all the food arrived.
I thought it was like an Indiana Jones in the Temple of Doom thing you thought would be like.
Monkey skulls?
Monkey's a monkey.
I guess that's what they were trying to show, like the cruelty of them not even getting into the food, and then this guy, you know, having that entire...
Yeah,
table that's to himself. What
I really was trying so hard, and oftentimes, to tell, like... Who are the bad guys exactly?
I don't know.
And what are their, what is their, like, Kano and Forearms would, to me, seem to be the henchmen for the main bad guy. But they were just meeting for the first time in that scene. So I was like, what the fuck is this? Who? Wow.
This only happens once a generation.
And was the 10,000-year-old woman, like, a bad guy who was helping good guys?
I think that they were like, keep an eye on the 10,000-year-old bad woman because she's the only one who could possibly defeat me. So she was an ally. So they needed to use the clear CGI character, which was another amazing. Like,
we don't have enough money.
They have this like little reptilian, like this little lizard, and that's one of my favorite scenes in the movie when the main bad guy goes up to like a lizard statue. He's like, keep your eye on her and take a look at her. You don't know what's going
on. Then he fully exits frame so that the statue can come alive and be like a many-toothed, terrible monster.
And it is interesting, just to go back to the Goro scene, when he's like introduced and you see him for the first time and they're eating and he's not eating because like obviously he's got great abs, so he probably is really restrictive.
Totally. It's just a very high protein and he has to work out twice a day.
Before 7, you know.
Yeah. I think absolutely, but then also whenever they do close-ups of his hands, what I love about his hands is that they look like the exact same gloves that like the Ninja Turtles made.
Totally.
Wore in that Ninja Turtles movie. Yeah. Like they're weirdly the exact same thing. I think they just sprayed them down.
Purple.
They were like, cut off one of those fingers. I think the Ninja Turtles have 4.
Amazing.
These guys have 3. Yep. This guy has 3. So, but otherwise, it was like a real recycled look that I appreciated.
I wish I could have seen
him actually hold a drumstick.
Sure. Also, when it's a man in the suit, he does this one move where he raises his arms above his head, and the two sets of arms are connected.
Yes.
So when he raises one set, the other set automatically goes.
It's very like cheap costume design. Like.
And so they repeatedly go back to him, and all he's doing is just raising his arms above his head. But like the second set of arms is like very meekly following the first.
Well,
it's
I gotta
amazing.
Say, I didn't feel like they used and capitalized off of those 4 arms. I mean, there was that fight scene.
But that fight scene. Okay, so he's built up as this big guy. The first
he's like the unbeatable guy. And that they're like, oh, we're all going to get killed by 4 arms.
And so Johnny Cage immediately just punches him in the dick. And
is
then
he
it's,
wearing sunglasses at that point?
No, the glasses have been broken. At which point, Christopher Lambert punches a guy in the arm and it goes, yes! And then he goes, I'm sorry about that.
And I felt like that was one of the biggest reveals of the movie was that Goro is anatomically correct.
But
because
I was like,
was
no way.
But here's my
I was like,
but,
no way this guy's got a dick.
But here's my issue.
I didn't think so, yeah.
He punches him in the dick. And he goes down like, ooh. And then Goro is literally doubled over for, I would say, a good 15 to 20 seconds. Johnny Cage does nothing else.
No, Johnny
Cage.
Like,
the guy is bent over. He could just, bam, bam, bam. He runs upstairs and decides to create this other plan of, like, running off a cliff. But it's like, the guy is, he has the upper hand and does nothing.
You're absolutely right. It is a fight that is, there's so much buildup, I feel like, to Goro fighting any of our heroes, what we think of as our heroes.
Oh, there are heroes.
There are ours, I think. You know, I feel a certain ownership of them. Yeah. You know, Johnny, Liu Kang, Sonya.
Sonya, love
Princess
them all.
Princess Katana, too. Princess I mean, Katana she's complicated, too, even though, but she's ours.
Even though I couldn't tell exactly if she's, but I felt like she was one of us. Anyway, so Johnny Cage is like, you know what? I'm going to fight Goro, and they're like, what? You're going to get killed? And he's like, I've got a plan. And his plan is punch him in the nuts and then lure him outside so you can throw him off a cliff. What?
And by the way, it didn't seem like he knew that that cliff was there.
The fight is such a letdown.
By the way, when you have somebody that injured, just go to town.
Go to town.
But maybe it is he was nice to see the device of somebody falling off a cliff and then the shot from above, like, with the extra arms. You know,
love that.
When we've seen it before, like when the Beast fell off the tower in Beauty and the Beast, like he only has
spoilers for Beauty and the Beast.
When Gaston falls off, he only has two arms because he's like a human person. Four arms, this guy formed as like this kind of extra thing. It's nice.
And I love that they had the little callback there because Johnny Cage, like, he's so upset with this movie that he's on because none of the extras are falling down at the right time.
Oh, yeah, right.
And he goes, now you fall. And then he gets to say it again to Goro. Why was, I wrote down this one thing. Why was Johnny Cage so upset when I'm calling him Jax, but the black guy died. Like, he was like, no!
Well,
but he just met him.
They seemed to have some sort of friendship from the boat. Didn't they meet on the boat?
They met on the boat because he was reading
was
the Chinese.
A minute long.
Weekly.
No. Remember he said when they were getting on the boat, he was like, oh, hey, I saw you fight.
Oh,
back
right.
when. Oh, right. I remember you. They had like some past history.
Okay. All right. That's
But that's it, I think. I think they were just, they'd known each other back when.
Where right. do you think he put all of his luggage? Johnny Cage.
Well, that was a great runner.
Where did they stay? What were their barracks like?
He brought no less than 8 suitcases.
Eight, like Louis Vuitton suitcases.
Louis Vuitton, like square, boxy suitcases.
It was like a Kate Winslet get to the Titanic situation.
But that was the weird thing about that character. He alternated between being like, I am not just an actor, I'm a fighter. And then, but yet he was like also like a diva-y actor at certain points too. Like, I couldn't quite get a handle on it.
And I thought that struggle within him was going, like he was going to have to come to terms with that.
June, you brought me to one of my biggest points. This movie is all about inner demons versus outer demons.
Oh, shit.
But he never really wrestled with that. He was never confronted with, like, his own vanity versus his, you know, wanting to be the real thing.
Well,
Well, I think when the woman is wearing the dress, for some reason...
Again, June, the result
was a...
Was he?
Genuinely,
guess what? We didn't make this movie. Stop yelling at us.
Sorry. Because that would be how his character would finally come to terms with.
Well, Christopher Lambert tells them all what is holding them back from achieving like true
greatness.
Excellence and being the best. And he goes one by one and is like, "You are afraid that the prophecy is true, Liu Kang. You are afraid that to be whatever." He says to Johnny. He says to each one of them, and you're like, "Oh, okay. I guess they're all going to have to individually conquer these weaknesses in order to be stronger." Nope, not really. Okay, wait, what? The movie's over?
Not
okay, great.
Really.
Yeah. I fucking hate this movie.
That just made me think, I didn't realize this watching it, but now that we're talking about it, that means that like he came back, so the whole reason he's there is so he can talk to people about the tournament.
Yeah.
Do you think he came back and he was like, you guys...
He would have seemed
there.
His acting career would have been
the
over.
Tournament
in the underworld.
Forearms down the tube.
He calls his agent and he's like, get me an interview.
ASAP.
In the trade.
I took a fog boat with some new friends.
Yep. I fought a man with forearms who fell off a cliff in a magical city.
And a man with a rice paddy hat told me my destiny was here.
A woman was 10,000 years old.
I love thinking about those interviews and how well his career must have gone after. Like, well, I guess he proved it. Because before we didn't believe it, but well, now.
But it does prove that there were some people that seemed to be just there as spectators. Like, they were just like, they look like dads to me. Like, yeah. Dads in jeans are like around. They didn't seem like they were a fighter.
Hey, Mitch, you going to the Mortal Kombat fight this weekend?
Well, it happens once every generation. My fucking wife will let me out of the house for one weekend.
You gotta get out of the house. This is gonna be a pretty spectacular fight. Did you hear? Liu Kang is gonna be there.
Liu Kang?
Yep.
His brother
me,
just got killed,
Gary,
by the way.
Pete, Luke, we're all gonna go. We're all team Liu Kang.
Southwest going there?
Southwest does not, but Frontier does.
Oh, okay.
We got a real great gig on Frontier.
Fog plane?
Yep, it flies right into the fog, and you fly right out into the, Oceanic Flight 800.
Oh,
flight,
I'll do it.
Oh, shit, I can't remember.
When
A-15, thank you.
When Goro shows up to that fight, they pan across this audience that you're talking about, and there's just, most of them are wearing ninja outfits. There's one guy in a flannel.
That was it. That was what I thought. That's what I saw.
Please rewind it. I rewound it twice.
I love that.
As a lesbian, I have to always be on the look for flannels. Where are they at? How they play into this? So it was nice.
You know what?
To
I
see.
Feel like you know what it was. I feel like they were. They're like rolling. Oh shit! Sound Mikey? What are you doing? You know what? We're just gonna have to shoot him in there. He's like, "What? I was miking over here. Just stay where you are. You're gonna be in this shot." Like the like a guy like a grip or something was just added to the movie.
You got to watch the fight scenes because they're also in the front. They're like right on the stage. Now it's time for some facts that will I think blow your mind because they blew mine. What do you think the budget of this movie was?
$75 million.
Okay. 1995. Yeah,
95. $15 million.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to say like 40.
Okay, $18 million.
Oh.
Okay.
Wow.
Oh, weekend gross, opening weekend, $23
million. Wow.
Worldwide gross, $122 million. This movie was a giant hit. It was number one at the box office. It was a huge, huge movie. Now, here are some facts that also will blow your mind. People who...
This movie is imaginary.
Did never happen. Tom Cruise and Johnny Depp were both considered for Johnny Cage.
Considered.
Well, Cameron Diaz.
They were.
Cameron Diaz was cast as Sonya Blade, but broke her wrist before the filming started.
Jesus, I can't believe that. You know, I would have, as you know, like it's so nice whenever her name comes up because you know, like she is my namesake. Yeah. I mean, she's only like 2 or 3 years older than me, but my parents, you know, renamed me when they heard about her.
From The Mask?
Well, actually, when she was in 17 Magazine.
Oh, nice.
Well,
oh,
wow. That was her first modeling job. I remember seeing it in the credits in the back. I was like, rename me this, please, Mom and Dad. So, Cameron Diaz, I can't believe you're not in this movie. It would have been so great to see all that underwear dancing that she's known
for.
She has so many underwear.
So now Cameron Diaz breaks her wrist. So then they hire Miss Teen USA Kathleen McClellan. So they get her in the movie. She gets injured. And so then Bridget Wilson is the third person that they cast. Gregory McKinney replaced Steve James as Dax because he died. Uh-huh. And then Brandon Lee was then cast as Johnny Cage. And then he died.
Oh, no.
John Claude Van Damme turned down Johnny Cage to do Street Fighter. And then...
I don't know. I would have liked him in this as well.
I would have liked him in this.
Too.
But here is the best fact of the whole movie. Now, this goes back to what we talked about earlier. Apparently, get ready for this. The snake and insect action was monitored by the American Humane Association and commended the film for its responsible and sensitive treatment of even the smallest of Earth's creatures.
Oh, God.
Wow.
Movie got a special commendation.
The animals were treated well in a movie that was about senseless murder.
That is some crazy stuff. Wow. I would have liked to see Johnny Depp in that.
Oh.
Wow. How do you treat a worm well?
I do not know.
It's like decent dirt. That's like
you really keep birds away from
good
it.
Good question.
Obviously, we had opinions about this movie, but
especially if it's an early morning shoot.
Yeah,
because those early birds, they really get those worms.
I've heard that.
And you can have no apples on set either. That's like
how
cocaine
do you keep a bird away from a worm? Is it like a dick punch? Do you think you punch the bird in its bird dick?
You just slap.
You know what? Maybe. Although that I don't know how to immediately and rapidly tell the gender of a bird.
If you are a bird dick puncher, we want you on the show.
If you know how to train birds, hopefully through abuse of their genitalia, to not go after worms, please give us a call. Once again, we're looking for you to clarify some things we have questions about.
All right, so obviously we have an opinion about this movie, but it is now time for a second opinion. Hit the theme song.
These are second opinions from top to bottom. Crazy movies are fun.
These are second opinions culled from Amazon users who gave this movie a 5-star review. Now, I just want to actually give a shout-out before we even start this to two of sponsors of today's episodes. These are donors who gave $100 each to have this get made. So a big shout-out and thank you to Aiden O'Moore and Mandy Bowles? Or Bowles? I'm going to say Mandy
like
Bowles.
Bowles.
Mandy Bowles, Aiden O'Moore, you're the best.
You're the best around.
All right.
Mandy Bowles.
Aiden
O'Moore.
I would not like to see you guys get your spine ripped out. Okay, so these are 5-star reviews culled from Amazon. One of my favorite reviews of all time is coming up. It's a little bit long, but it's well worth it. Here we go. From Laura S. This is my childhood movie. They have some good fights and some really funny dialogue for understanding listeners.
I guess what does that even mean?
I don't know. This movie made me interested in wisdom.
What?
Good looks.
What?
And martial arts.
Wow.
Wisdom. It made you interested in wisdom.
Just interested in it.
Just interested. Want to check out that wisdom that everyone's talking about.
Oh, you know what I'm going to do tomorrow? I'm going to go to the library and I'm going to look up wisdom. Also, good looks.
Good looks.
Do you think they misspelled wizards? They were like, wizards?
All right, now I'm going to read one other. All right, so this one is one of the best video game movies ever made. If you never saw this movie before and you watch it now in 2011, you probably won't like it with its thin, and you'll think it's cheesy. But if you remember how sweet this movie was when it came out, and you remember Scorpion shooting his grappling hook out of his hand and ripping off his face to reveal a skull that breathes fire, then this is for you.
Oh.
5 stars.
Oh, God, I hope this person's at a better place in life.
Now, here's another one. The acting, the story, the special effects, everything is just perfect. My favorite scene is when Sonya does battle against Kano, and we see how sexy she is with her nice breast.
What? No!
5 stars.
What? Wait, breasts? Singular?
Singular.
You know, that scene did make
singular
me feel...
breast? With her nice breast.
We can see how she is sexy with her nice breast.
I can't believe that's what they were... I mean, she's wearing black jean shorts. That's the
short
look.
Shorts, yeah.
That's the fucking look in that scene.
By the way, the person who wrote this, their screen name is LB Worshipper. So, Pound Worshipper? I don't know. Chubby Chaser. Now, I...
Maybe. Or a very big fan of Lorraine Bracco.
This is much longer than a normal review, but I came across this one and I felt like it needs to be read.
Just read it.
Okay. Do you want the Mortal Kombat music under you while you read it?
You may be distracting, but let's
all right. Maybe we don't have to, all right, because it is very intense.
Okay, here we go. This was written on December 26th, 2011. So it was
right
the day after
Christmas. Right after.
From Caracas, Venezuela. Now, I'll be reading it the way it was written. You'll understand why in just a moment. I was a fan of the first Mortal Kombat when it came out, and I remember playing it in my 386. When the movie was announced, I almost got an orgasm. And when it came out again in VHS DVD was years from being commercial. I don't know what that means. I see the movie once and another and another time. In fact,
this is really bumming me out.
In fact, making an interstate trip on a bus, I convinced the girl that works on the bus attending passengers of put the movie on during travel. Yep, I carry the tape with me. So he brought a VHS on a bus.
Hope this is very dark.
Okay. One day, the tape broke up.
This is a suicide note. I'm going to be really upset.
One day, the tape broke up. Yep. I see movie more than 100 times and the tape got overused and broke. I cry a lot that day.
What?
And even I have the broken tape with me. When movie came out on DVD, I was uber happy and bought it until I was robbed. They break on my house and take my DVD player with disc inside. Of course, I bought it again. And even today, when his FX are really lame compared with actual, I still enjoy a lot of this movie. The end was great, too. And when I see it, I was stunned looking that there will be a second part. But this, at this time, you must know, was but... this is all right. But as this time, you must know, it was but... Stay away from that. Unless you are a collectionist of MK stuffs, buy it, but don't watch it. Because then you will not get desires... But you must punch somebody. Don't know what that means.
Wow.
I think he's basically saying the second movie is not very good. I was happy when I bought
there's a sequel to this?
Yes, called the Mortal Kombat Annihilation, which is what we were going to do, but I was heard that we couldn't do that until we saw this one. I was happy when I bought.
Remember at the end when they're like,
Well, I figured, but I didn't know. I knew that's what it was setting up. But I couldn't imagine it was made.
It felt like it could have fallen through the cracks.
Yeah.
Like they'd have been like,
It came out many years later. All right, so here's the end of it. Here it goes. I was happy when I bought the DVD and I see it has Spanish subtitles because, as you must know now from reading my review, my English stinks, but not so much as MK2. Slam on MK2.
Amazing.
So I only buy DVDs that have Spanish subtitles, and it's like some divinity don't want me to throw my money away. The MK2 movie has not subtitles, and I can't really remember what to do with my VHS tape. I really want to believe that I threw that one out the window. 5 stars.
Wow.
I don't. This is one of the craziest reviews.
It's pretty intense.
It's intense, and
where is he going? I want to know where he's going on that bus.
He's on an interstate trip with a VHS copy. Convinces someone to get it.
Friends.
Finds out it's going to be on DVD. This after he finds out the movie's coming out. He's going to have an orgasm. Then he gets the DVD. His house is robbed. The DVD is stolen.
A harrowing tale.
And then he finds out about the sequel. He kind of slams the sequel, and then he just wants to let you know that this is a good DVD because it does have Spanish subtitles.
And please don't forget that he watched that tape so much that it broke.
He broke over 100 times.
I'm trying to think of anything. I've not watched anything enough that a tape would have broken.
I remember getting worried that my VHS tape of Anne of Green Gables was going to go.
Yeah.
Like that it was actually...
Because was that something also that you like taped off of television?
No, that was given to me.
It was
for
sale. Yes. Okay. Because I remember thinking that about things that I had like taped off of television, but you couldn't get.
Right.
Like I used to tape Saturday Night Live, and I would be afraid that something would happen.
I used to fix tapes, open up the top, and you
really?
Put the thing in. Oh yeah.
Oh wow.
Guys, this is the classic time. Anything that we missed? Anything that we want to talk about? Anything? I feel like we covered a lot of it. The one thing I feel like I would be remiss if we didn't talk about is that one scene in the beginning when Liu Kang decides to go fight in the tournament. Monks murmur. He's like, "I'm going to fight that tournament," and the monks are like, "Ooh." Monks should not be gossiping amongst each other. That seemed like an odd thing for monks to do, to kind of have a little coffee clutch.
This movie was so bad.
I think that my favorite part of this movie is that whatever that guy's name is, Liu Kang, is fighting the big bad guy.
Yeah.
And the big bad guy turns around about 2 feet from him and then turns back around and he's his brother.
Oh, yeah.
And if you watch this movie for any reason, fast forward to that part just so that you can see Liu Kang go, "Wait a minute. I don't think you're my brother." He just saw him transform.
Yes.
And still in his mind.
He watched him transform.
Yes. In his mind, there's a chance is really his brother. And the brother tries to prove it by saying a line that will live with me for the rest of my life, which is, "Remember when our parents died?"
Yeah.
If the movie had ended on that, I would have been a 5-star review myself.
You would have written it on Christmas Day.
I would have written it on Christmas Day.
Oh, my God. That was a great little reveal, too. Oh, man, the brother, the dead brother. None of it pays off.
None of it.
Would you guys recommend? Well, now, here's the thing.
No.
This movie's on iTunes, and you can't even rent it.
No.
I paid
$15.
I paid $9 on iTunes for it.
How did you pay $9?
It was only $9 on iTunes.
I think it was. I think I paid $15 on iTunes.
You didn't get. You got high definition.
So
I bet it looked better.
It looked amazing. If amazing looks like garbage.
So would you guys recommend watching this movie?
Never once ever in your life.
I think you could fast forward and find some fun stuff.
I think if you can just find that scene of the brother, that's going to stick with you.
And also that flannel guy. I'm actually interested in going back to see.
Christopher Lambert, I think his...
This movie is bad because there's no movement in this movie. The fights are lateral and boring.
I don't necessarily believe in piracy, but somebody should pirate that section and put it on the internet, and then all of our problems...
Well, it's also like, you know, I mean, this brings a whole thing. It's like, making a movie out of a video game, they're separate things. Like, I think you can make a video game out of a good movie, but like also trying to do something cool. Like when Liu Kang's move in the video game is like he flies forward and his legs are kicking really fast. But in this movie, when he's flying forward, he's like almost he's sitting and his legs are just moving like really quick. It's not impressive. It's almost anything but. It seems almost like a sketch. Like you would see it on Saturday Night Live.
I feel like if you're going to watch this at this point, watch the Raid Redemption. Really good martial arts fight. Combat movie that would be like, or any of like the Tony Jaa movies or something.
I'd recommend Haywire. If you
ooh,
like,
sure.
If
yeah.
you
watch
like
Haywire.
Sonya
great.
In this movie, why don't you go watch a real MMA yeah. lady yeah. take some people down to size?
Great. I love it.
Does she have a sense of humor?
She's a terrible actor, but hey, what the heck? She was on American Gladiators, the reboot.
Well, this has been so much fun. Karen, what do you have that you would want to plug and tell us about?
So I have two podcasts of my own. And
oh, great.
If folks like this, I also do an action and sci-fi movie podcast. That's
what?
Called,
what? I didn't know about this.
It's called Wham Bam Pow. And that's why I said this is in my wheelhouse. I fucking love this shit. So you can I do that with Ricky Carmona and Rhea Butcher, who also... They're both amazing comics.
Amazing.
And then Rhea and I also run a show at the UCB on Tuesday nights.
Very good show.
That is called Put Your Hands Together, and
out
we put
LA.
That out as a podcast as well. And that is a stand-up podcast. In fact, it is like the first of its kind.
It's really awesome.
To that
amazing.
In your fantastic. House at home. Okay, the end.
Also, just a reminder again that we are doing a live show on 314 at Largo in Los Angeles. How'd this get made? And if we sell out the first one, we'll do a second one. That's 314. Go to largola.com. What else we got, guys? Anything? Jason, you still in The Dictator?
I'm just getting word now that I'm still in it.
Oh, good. That is,
that's great, though.
My voice has now been dubbed.
But your body is still in it.
My body is still in it, but I've been told that my voice has been entirely dubbed.
All right, that's okay. That's
way,
all about the look.
But with yeah. a dog's bark.
Oh, wow.
So my character has now been reduced to being an animal in the movie, apparently.
But
I haven't watched it, so
it's an interesting performance. Yeah. My comic book, Alien vs. Parker, is coming out on February 4th. The trade paperback. Read them all in one sitting. June, what the fuck do you want to talk about?
Oh, shit.
I don't know.
June, did you want to yawn on mic?
Don't you have a DVD coming out?
Oh, yeah. Ass Backwards is out on DVD January 28th and available on iTunes.
There you go.
Well, I'll also say go see Ride Along.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Why not?
Jason Mantzoukas, writer of Ride Along, a huge, huge hit.
Yeah, it is.
Giant hit.
Fantastic.
Giant hit.
Now.
Weird.
Are you going to be riding around like in a helicopter fueled by champagne at this
point? Yeah, yeah, yeah. How do you think I got here? It is not a good technology.
Is that actually true?
Yes.
I did write a version of
you wrote the first version, right?
I wrote the middle version.
Okay.
Okay, so my fiance, Rhea, who I do a lot of these shows with, I just want you to know she's a huge fan.
Oh, awesome.
Whenever we went to see a movie, while there was a ride-along trailer, she would turn to me during the entire trailer and just go, "This is fucking amazing. I love this." She likes Kevin Hart's delivery a lot. So anyway, my point is,
watch out. You might lose her to Kevin Hart.
I flipped out because I walked by one of those big bus ads and I saw your name on the thing. I was like, wait, what? And I texted you immediately and did not hear you talk about it. We were vacationed together.
Sure,
and
true.
Didn't even hear you mention it.
Nope.
You are a mystery.
Yeah, guys.
All right.
But check it out on my Twitter.
No, you do not have a Twitter.
I still don't have Twitter.
But How Did This Get Made as a Twitter. You can follow us at HDD, whatever, you know, the initials of the fucking show. I'm on Twitter at Paul Scheer.
At Miss June Diane.
Yeah, and I'm at Cameron Esposito.
Great.
Not on Twitter.
All right, that wraps up the show. Remember, you can get How Did This Get Made pint glasses online. Shirts are coming. Remember, our live show is at Largo on 314. You know how we do. If we sell out the first one, we're going to add a second one. Go to largola.com. And a big thanks to everyone that helps us out here at Earwolf. Brett, our engineer, our amazing people online. Avril Haley, who pulls all of our clips. She's amazing. Nate Kiley does a lot of the research, getting in deep on the Wikipedia pages. Leanna Waldron, designing cool shit that goes on our Facebook pages every single fucking day. And Katie Dyer, who runs our official How Did This Get Made Twitter. That's right, we have a How Did This Get Made Twitter. You know that? It's at HDTGM. HDTGM. Did I say that right? I think I did. All right, so that's all I'm going to say for the end of the show. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you, everybody, here at Earwolf. We'll see you next time on the mini-episode. Bye-bye. Now that the show's over, you can show us some love and go to squarespace.com. Use the offer code NUNDERCOVER for a sweet little discount. That's squarespace.com, offer code NUNDERCOVER for 10% off.
This has been an Earwolf Media production. Executive producers Jeff Ulrich and Scott Aukerman. For more information, visit earwolf.com.
Earwolf Radio. Boom.com. Oh, oh, oh. The wolf's dead.